So this morning, I had been, I've been preparing this message on anger, and we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. This morning, I had every intention of being to Sunday school early. I have a hard time being early for anything, and you guys know that. But I wanted to do better, so I had every intention, and I made it home in plenty of time. After studying in the morning, I made it home in plenty of time. And first thing, I have a son in pajamas outside with a way overloaded diaper. I clean that up. Well, I take care of the mess. My wife takes care of the diaper. Come in, and my wife has some juice ready for me, not only for me, but for the rest of the family. My two boys that are sitting at the table with me drinking their juice. Actually, no, I wasn't drinking the juice. I was working on our lunch trying to figure out how to do a rotisserie chicken. And behind me, something happened, and juice flies on the floor. I turn around, and I see the culprits, and that leads to some moments in the bathroom together, where we talk through what happened, and again, took some time to walk through that process with them. We then came back out in the kitchen, and lo and behold, the juice hadn't been cleaned up yet. So we had to clean up the juice. Cleaned up the juice, finally got that done. I look outside, and there's the same boy that was in his pajamas, now in his Sunday clothes, but had gone back out and was playing in the sand in his Sunday clothes. So I had to bring him in, take his pants off and his shoes off, and clean them off. All of these things unexpected, all of these things not planned, and there went my morning. Long about the moment when I was taking the two boys into the bathroom did I notice something. I'm preaching on anger this morning. And here it is. I'm having to apply the very things I'm preaching about this very morning. And it was then that those of you that have children and you've disciplined children, you know that this is very, very important, that you don't discipline in anger. And, you know, it's just very poignant for me this morning about how God brought my attention to this in the midst of what I wanted to be early, on time, dressed, ready to go, and what was happening. And it wasn't matching up with my agenda. And sure, I was angry. I was upset. And I had all kinds of feelings. I had, you know, why? Okay, some of them were directed at my wife. Why didn't she have them ready before I got home? Why couldn't they have already been dressed? Why, you know, I could go there, you know, and I had these thoughts welling up within me, and I could start digging in my claws into her. I had these boys that just playing with a skewer, dump juice on the floor. I mean, come on. You know, we don't just leave skewers laying around, by the way. Just don't get the wrong idea. But nevertheless, God tested me this morning with this very topic. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So we're in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, so let's look at this. And I trust you are ready and willing for what God has to say to you this morning. Because this anger is something that every home, I believe, deals with in some way. Anger is something that is an attitude, it is a passion that wells up within us when things just don't go the way we think they ought to go. Notice that the focus there of that definition is my focus, my perspective, my view. And you're going to see in this text that it does say, be angry. It doesn't say, don't be angry. It says, be angry. And this is often questioned and wonder what in the world does this mean, because this is a command, be angry. Sin not is also a command. Don't let it go down don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. A third command, neither give place to the devil. Four commands right here in these two verses. Four. And the first one is, be ye angry. Now, what that brings to mind is this. Anger is not bad in and of itself. We can know this because God is angry. God, in fact, you know, many of us don't like to think about this, but God is a God of wrath. Severe wrath. Severe anger. And that's what makes his love and his grace so special. God is a God of wrath, God of anger. But I want to make a very clear distinction here. We're not God. Okay? We're not God. So yes, God is a God of anger and a God of wrath, and he knows how to handle that in a righteous manner. But you know what? What we can learn from this text, anger in and of itself is not bad, but allowing anger to fester brings us to the place of sin. Because we are not God, the passions and the attitudes that are associated with anger are things that we cannot handle in and of ourselves for any extended amount of time. What causes us to be angry? Well, there's injustice. We see something happen that just shouldn't happen. It causes us to be angry, doesn't it? Is that anger wrong? No, it's not wrong to be angry about injustice, because it's something that shouldn't be happening. But I want to tell you something. If you allow that injustice and those feelings about what you've seen there to fester in your life, those passions and attitudes are going to be taken to an extreme that you cannot handle, and you cannot accomplish the righteousness of God. You know, I want to give you a very important point here that James brings to this discussion. James chapter 1 says this. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Listen to this now. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Did you catch that? The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So don't think you can go on some crusade taking your angry passions and attitudes and seek to accomplish God's work. That's not for you to do. There's another passage in Romans chapter 12. You can turn to these as well. It's good for you to see them. Romans chapter 12. Verse 19. Actually, you know what? Let's go to verse 17. Listen to what this says. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. What does that mean? avenge not yourselves. We are not the ones that are to be acting out and seeking vengeance. We are to be giving that to God. God can handle those kinds of things. We can't. It's out of our league. We are not God. As you think about this thought, just from those two texts, to summarize, I want you to realize your anger does not accomplish the righteousness of God. James chapter 1. Keep that in mind. Your anger does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Let me read to you this statement. My anger does not accomplish the righteous standard of God. It only alerts my soul to those things that are against God's righteousness. It is when I continue beyond the agitation of the soul to violence, whether physical or spoken, and revenge, that I sin. I cannot make things right through my anger. I do this only through love and forgiveness. You see, so often do we seek to use anger as a tool to make things right, to set the course straight. But anger does not do that, does it? Come on, we've experienced it, right? Anger does not make things right. It leads to strife. In fact, in this very context of Ephesians chapter 4, it ends with these words. Verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's how we minister. That's how we can make things right. That's what God wants us to do. Anger is the attitudes and passions that consume a person to express dissatisfaction and or dismay over something or someone. Now, these may be expressed or unexpressed, but nevertheless, they're present. It is the agitation of the soul in response to an assault against what we believe is right and just. Anger is the agitation of the soul in response to an assault against what we believe is right and just. The key to that definition is what we believe. The difference between righteous anger and sin is where our heart is. If we are God-centered, our passions will be incited over sin. If we are self-centered, we will be angered and sin ourselves. Let me read that again for you. The difference between righteous anger and sin is where our heart is. If we are God-centered, our passions will be incited over sin. If we are self-centered, we will be angered and sin ourselves. The text says, "Be you angry and sin not." Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So anger in and of itself is not sinful or wrong. But this text gives us this truth. Anger is not, we are not designed to have anger building up within us. Anger must be short. Must be short-lived. No matter what you are angry about, whatever it be, an injustice or whatever, it is something that should not be guiding us. You see, I think all of us at some point in our lives have had some experience with an angry person. Somebody that is just known to be angry. I want you to know something. Anger is their master. It controls their lives. It gets a grip upon them so tight that they are hurting people before they even realize it. You see, anger is a cruel master. And therefore, God's word, God understands that truth, says you can be angry and sin not. Well, how do you do that? Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. That's a very clear, it should have an ending point. It should stop. The attitudes and the passions, the agitation of the soul should be ceased in your life. What does that mean then? What good is anger? Those of us that went to the men's retreat this past year, Pastor McCall spoke on this very passage. And remember what he said? He defined anger as God's early warning system. You remember that? I have not forgotten that. That has been very helpful to me. And so I share it with you again. It is God's early warning system to the fact that we have to change our thinking about something. I come in and I have an agenda. I want to get ready and be early for church. That just doesn't happen. That wasn't designed to happen this morning. And I come in with my agenda and I bring in to well up with attitudes and passions. My soul is agitated. I want to say things and I want to do things that are not good. I've got to change my thinking. I've got to change my thinking about the way the morning is going, about whose agenda I'm living. And so, by God's grace, I was able to change my thinking to love my wife and help her get the kids ready for church rather than agitating her and causing strife between us. I was able to lovingly sit there with my two sons and discipline them in a loving manner, explaining in a clear way what they had done wrong and disciplining them so that they would understand what they needed to do the next time. And instead of knowing Daddy as a yelling and screaming madman, they know Daddy for his love and his gentleness and his hug, even after the pain. Now, there's another portion to this passage. Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So there's a ceasing point. There's an ending point. We are not designed to carry anger. Neither give place to the devil. And I believe these two phrases go hand in hand. Because what happens when we allow anger to fester in our lives, when we hold on to it, when anger begins to control us, in other words, we begin to do things not because we are choosing to do them, but because of anger that's controlling us. That's when you know you've gone too far. You are opening the door for the devil to do his work through you. And I believe all of us have seen what the devil can do through anger. I can remember back when I was in high school, I witnessed an incident on the soccer field. This is a Christian high school. And so we as a team, we had to bear the name of Christ. I don't remember if the team we were playing against was another Christian high school or public school, whatever the case may be. But nevertheless, playing on that soccer field, our team got called for offsides. That's a call. Stops play, gives the other team the ball. And I can remember the father of one of the players on my team begin to yell and get upset about the ref's call. That's not right. You got that wrong. Come on, you didn't see that. We've heard that, right? Well, that incited another father from the opposing team to begin responding back. And soon you have these two fathers exchanging words on the sideline. Now, this is what I saw. This is what I witnessed. I witnessed a young man out there in the field. I witnessed a young man that was embarrassed and ashamed, so much so to the point that he went over to the sideline. Even as the game was going on, he went to the sideline and he said, "Dad, stop it! Let off!" I don't know what went through that father's mind at that point, but I can understand the emotions of the young man. Because what's taking place is the devil's having his way. As a man, he's expressing his emotions and agitation through words and strife and argumentation on the side of a Christian game where we're supposed to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there they are. Not only was it that, but it hurt a young man, a son, a boy, to see his father acting in such a way. And you know, the father was just trying to be the man, just trying to, hey, we're sports here. We got to get things right. Ridiculous. We don't live for that. We live to please God. Now, this phrase and this thought about neither give place to the devil emphasizes the point why we are to limit the extent of our anger. Let me give you a few reasons why. First of all, you are to realize that God is warning us that we cannot handle anger. It will lead us to sin if we allow it to fester. We don't fully understand all that the devil has in store, but you know what? He takes advantage of us. And when anger is allowed to fester in your home, in your life, as a person, at the workplace, wherever you might be, even in the church, in the way coming to church this morning, because that's a prime time for those kinds of things to happen. The devil, it opens the door for an opportunity for the devil to work. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, "To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave it I in the person of Jesus Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." You see, Satan has his ways. And we should not be surprised at what God or what Satan will do. Secondly, we need to be submitted to God and not the raging passions within us. This enables us to stand against the devil. You see, we don't want to give place to the devil. We need to stand against him. James 4:7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." It's all done in the posture of submission to God. We don't want to be easy prey for the devil, because indeed he is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant." And let me tell you something, church. Part of this being sober and vigilant is understanding the truth of what you're hearing today. Be angry and sin not. Don't harbor anger in your heart and life, because you're opening up a minefield for the devil. And he's going to do some nasty things in your home and in your family. We don't want to be easy prey. So, what? I know that there are several kinds of people here today. you may be here today, and maybe you're one of those people that's just controlled by anger. You're just overwhelmed by it. It is something that every single day you have to deal with, and your family has to put up with it, or your boss or your coworkers have to put up with your anger, with your response to things that are happening that you take control of and you allow to fester in your life to the point that you no longer control them. They control you. And people are getting hurt. Listen, today is the day to say, stop it. Today is the day to allow God to minister in your life. Let me ask, if you're a husband today and you're dealing with anger in your home, today's the day to sit down with your family, or at least with your wife, and say, I've got a problem, and I know it. Today is the day to invite your wife to be a part of your healing process. Today is the day that you allow your wife to say, honey, you tell her, honey, you can look at me and lovingly say, husband, you're allowing your anger to control you today. And allow that to lead you to times of prayer where you as a couple can develop a relationship and communicate through these moments of anger. It could be the wife. It could be the other way around. But today's the day you've got to do something. Because if you continue to allow anger to control you and to control your home and the temperature therein, you're just giving more opportunities to the devil. Some of you may be here today and you are one who's subjected to anger. You feel the wrath of someone every day. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a boss. And you are experiencing that on a day in, day out basis. Maybe they don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope because of their behavior, I hope they don't. But nevertheless, maybe that came out wrong. I want you to understand that people that are claiming to be Christians should not be that way. That's what I meant to say. Yes, we should hope that they do know Christ. We hope that the Spirit of God can help them and change their lives. But as far as you are concerned, you being subjected to that, you need to cling to the grace of God in those times. You know, I don't have an answer for you. There's no switch and magical button that you can be pushed to change people. I wish there was. No, some magic wand you could wave pixie dust over and say you're changed. I don't have that ability, but you know what? You know the God who does. I know the God who does. And you can be praying fervently. And I want you to also know that the book of Proverbs gives us this admonition: a soft answer turns away wrath. And so don't you encourage it. Don't you feed it along by your responses. So, anger. Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Lord, I just ask that you would use this in the lives of your people. God, we are your church, and we want to acknowledge we need your desperate help in this area of anger. God, things happen all the time that just incite us and agitate us. God, help us to change our thinking. Help us to realize anger is not going to accomplish your righteousness, but loving and forgiving will. Thank you for giving us something that is positive to do. Thank you for giving us something that we can take the energy from our anger and push it into a good direction. And I pray that you'd help us as we seek to do that. Lord, as we now turn our attention to celebration of the Lord's table, Lord, I know that what we have just talked about is ringing in our ears. And I'm asking God that today would be a day of great change in homes, families, individuals. In Jesus' name, amen.